Our project is called Configurable Spaces, and it's really about temporal analysis and diagrammatic context. And so why do we want to do that? Well, our starting assumptions are that, and this is, you know, we've looked into this, that intelligence analysts use diagrammatic representations such as social network graphs, concept maps, organizational charts, and process diagrams to understand complex systems that they're working on. These diagrams provide context in which to interpret events and change over time. The problem is these representations don't really convey an actual changing system. There's flows in sequence, tempo, and dynamic behaviors within these systems that are not being represented in a sort of fixed diagram. There's condition. The conditions are not static. They depend on how much of the data you might be looking at one particular time. And over time, as maybe you get new information, those diagrams can potentially change. So this research is really an investigation into how diagrams are created and used and leveraged for analysis. It's an investigation into how to visualize diagrams in time, so to see that change in time, and also the use of linked diagrams to explore even more complex sort of multidimensional problems in time. The way we always start is to actually talk to analysts and see what their perspectives are and get an understanding of how they think about using sort of things that are represented by diagrams. So here's some quotes I'll just read. I use a diagram to describe a process, and I organize my thoughts and observations by the process steps in the diagram. I have a model of the situation in my head. Whenever something new comes in, I see if it fits with that model. If it does, I add it to the model. If it doesn't, I try and figure out why. Within a social network or process, you determine the places, things that are critical. You look for clusters and density. This helps you think about changes in the process. You want to compare processes, see where matches occur and where they don't. Partial matches point to things for which to look. Finally, I'm trying to understand a changing process, network or organization. Once I figure out the pattern, I can figure out where to look next. So there's this idea of change, of a thought process, changing over time, new information, and making sort of adjustments to those ideas. As part of a related exploration, we sort of investigated change over time and space with a tool called GeoTime that we've, a product that we've been developing that allows us to visualize moving objects and their interactions over time. So within an XYT coordinate space, I can represent movements, communications between entities, and I have a number of different types of analytical tools that I can use on that. So this sort of formed a foundation for applying these ideas to diagrams. And the benefit of this approach, this XYT coordinate space, is that I can actually start to see behaviors when I look into the actual details of those movements. So here I can see recurring patterns of a taxi moving back and forth in the airport over a period of time. I can see where they stopped, you know, might have stopped for lunch. And this really sort of tells a story. These actually tell stories about how things move and what they're doing over time. Other types of observations we can make in this data, things like movement rate, acceleration, meetings, all those things become visible when I create in a static view when I create this, when I display information in this way. So now, how do we apply this to diagrams? Well, this is the configurable spaces concept, and these are a couple of sketches here. I want to apply this space and time concept to diagrammatic dimensions. And by diagrammatic dimensions, I mean things like social networks and processes and organization charts and economic structures, concept maps, those kinds of things. And so here's, for example, a social network over time represented here. And I can actually see over time the sort of sequence of events that occur, communications that occur between all these entities, which are actually hidden in a summary view. Or in a process, for example, I can see how steps in the how much time certain steps in the process occur, and then I can overlay an actual instance of something moving through that process. So this is sort of the concept. And then really an even bigger challenge than seeing that time over diagrams is being able to understand much larger complex problems. So this is an idea that was proposed to us from several analysts that are working on very challenging problems where imagine trying to understand everything going on, for example, within a country. There are many, many different dimensions, each one of which may have some kind of diagrammatic representation that people use to understand it. These things are really almost like layers and slices through a data set in which certain entities may appear on many different layers, and each one of these layers has some sort of situation that's occurring and changing in time. So this is kind of the big challenge that is the end goal to sort of investigate. So we did some initial explorations before we actually, aside from the actual development of an actual prototype, into how events are mapped into diagrammatic contexts. And so we have some screenshots here of this first one is a VAST 2006 data set that shows how the data was mapped in time over top of these different diagrams to show, to sort of assemble all data in one place. So these are a bunch of phone calls from one telephone to a bunch of different entities. That is actually that happened earlier, and then it was connected to a bunch of events and communications and interactions between entities in a public private corporation, and that was connected to financial transactions within a public corporation. This all led to being able to figure out what the solution was for that. Here's a different version of a diagrammatic layout. It's more familiar as it's like an organization chart. So these are Enron emails, and what we have here are all the part of the organization of the Enron sort of leadership here, and then over top of that we've overlaid emails between those entities as I can actually scroll through in time here, I'll be able to see bursts of emails going out to many people. I can see certain conversations going on. I can see when there's some more intense activity that might be related to some other activity, sort of some news of report in time. So there's a lot of interesting things that go on there, communications between different parts of the organization. So that was an interesting experiment. Then there's other types of diagrams that are really sort of abstractions of physical space. In this case, I have a PowerPoint, a schematic of a power plant, and seeing how energy flows through those elements from fission to, for example, the power grid. In this case, this is from VAST 2007. I've abstracted geography into these squares. Each of these colored squares is a different continent, and each of these squares inside of those are individual countries. So the geography and space have been abstracted to simplify the reading, to focus on certain countries and relationships between continents in general. So the exact geospatial position is not as important. And then there's an idea of a concept map. Here's a geographical path of travel over the course of a year with lat-long locations, and then that's been actually rearranged according to activity. So each of these boxes is a different type of activity. This is this project. Here's a different project. Here's some conferences. And so just by rearranging those physical locations into these different boxes, I kind of get a different diagrammatic interpretation of what's going on and understand in terms of activities over time rather than in terms of locations over time. So given those experiments, we kind of deconstructed the requirements for where diagrams came from to these three different areas. So this idea, I'm going to start at the bottom here, the idea of a diagram coming from an external source with all the data associated with it. So I have a fixed diagram. It has all kinds of data associated with in time that I can just lay out and read into my application and display. That doesn't really happen very often. We looked around for data like that. Did not occur. Couldn't find it, so it wasn't really worth pursuing for us. What we focused on instead was automatically generated perspectives, which are, given a geotime data set, how can I extract a diagram out of that to help me understand that better? So I already have the data here. Now I just need to figure out how to create a diagram, and then I can potentially show that in time. And then the other type of diagram is analyst-generated. So here's an analyst wanting to create this process, this idea that they're working on, and it's not necessarily representing the data yet, but they want to attach that to data. So we wanted to support that kind of a workflow as well. So starting with automatically generated perspectives, there's a geotime knowledge base that exists, which we're going to extract these diagrams. And the knowledge base is composed out of entities and locations and events that occur within them. In this case, the knowledge base contains, for example, a representation of Tom at a certain location and Bob at a certain location, and there's a connecting event that represents that phone call connecting them. So if I want to create a social network graph view of that, I really just need to somehow extract those two entities out of there and draw an edge between them. So we developed what we call a thematic filter that allows us to starting with an existing geotemporal data set, which includes interactions between entities. We can adjust parameters in order to extract certain aspects of that data in order to generate and then feed that into a graphing package called YWorks that we integrated into GeoTime that would lay those things out in sort of a more familiar kind of a network graph view. So the first thing we did once we had this thing up and running was to actually take an old data set of sort of a complex analytics training scenario, which included a lot of different entities and events over the course of many years, and is something that analysts really spend kind of in training spend many days working on. And we pumped it into the system, and what we did is we generated this sort of knowledge base visualization, which actually contains not just interactions between entities, but also their connections to locations and every single element within the knowledge base. And the interesting thing that happened was that there were a series of different plots within that data set that the analysts were meant to discover. And in fact, just the force-directed nature of the layout actually ended up sort of spreading these things out into these zones, which sort of aligned with these different plot elements. So this kind of very first instance of running this thing on this data set, on a new data set, a pre-existing data set, actually started to have these patterns that emerged. And so that was the first indication that I think that we were onto something that could actually have some analytic benefit. So here's an actual picture of how this configurable spaces prototype is integrated into the application. And here's an example of a computer network of events. So this computer network actually contains location information of where the servers are located, and this is actually in time. So there's so I think this is 2 hours of some network event that I'm not exactly sure exactly what the problem is in this. But as a visualization test, we put this data in here, and all I need to, and so the thematic filter, I imported data into this diagram, and it will generate this sort of familiar kind of node and link type of view of that data. So it's a summary of that data. Now, it's kind of maybe easier to understand the network as in a summary view like this. So it kind of gives me a new perspective on that data. And what I can do then is actually reproject that back into GeoTime so I can get a temporal view of the data arranged according to this node and link diagram. So what we're seeing here is all those same events, but arranged perhaps in an easier to understand, more logical way that doesn't have a geographic dimension to it. So now I can start to see patterns like recurring events. I can see these clusters. I can see when interactions occurred between these two different halves of the graph. I can see places where things happened earlier and then they didn't after a while. So this is kind of a really nice illustration of how of the kind of details you can pull out when you actually start to extract this diagram in time and see the events in it. Here's another example. This is more of a kind of intelligence kind of scenario where I've got a number of moving entities with communications and financial transactions occurring within them. In this case, I'm using the thematic filter to just pull out the communications between entities. So I get this graph here that just shows me sort of a subgroup of the entities that are in the scene. Okay. So now I can take that. So that representation is that layout is represented was generated by the layout algorithm. An analyst may want to change that. They may want to adjust that because it's something they know, some pre-existing information they know. So they can rearrange that, and then by moving the nodes around, it then generate the temporal view of that. So I can see the sequence of phone calls and financial transactions and make some inferences about that data scenario. That sort of leads into the idea of analyst-created diagrams. So we provide the ability for the analysts to create their own diagrams if they needed to. And here's a little video of that. They can create nodes. They can generate links between them. And then, so that I'm creating my diagram, but now I need to actually associate some data with that. So we allow them to take data and drag it into those nodes. So now I'm actually creating a diagram, which is like a concept map that is linked to my original data. So now I can create, for example, a process diagram or an organization view and actually drag the entities and sort of construct this view and then be able to back that up and see that in time or apply different layout algorithms to it. So that gets us towards a multi-perspective workspace. I'm able to, in this prototype, to be able to show multiple diagrams at the same time of a particular data set. So that gives me this idea of slices through a data set that I was trying to get at the beginning, so I can have a large scenario and then be able to look at, for example, the communications, financial perspectives, a process or an organization view, and then interact across all of those. So in this example, here it is. I'm actually interacting with, for example, some of the different analytical views here. I'm looking at centrality in that network. I zoom in on this other sort of organizational view, and when I select on one of those entities, it will highlight that entity in all of the other views. So that kind of lets me have those links between these different dimensions. And then I can actually use that to actually navigate in the space and focus in on a particular entity in the time and space view. So we applied this to real data and learned some new lessons. I can't actually show you examples of this, but in doing this, we revealed temporal behavior patterns and social interactions. So just as in the same way that you can see patterns in the way people move, you can see patterns in the way that things interact. You can see tempo change, clusters, gaps, synchronization. We found that these additional views can help in the analysis of geospatial data. So it provides a quick summary of what the data is about. It provides a starting point for looking into new or large data sets. It tells you this is maybe the place to start looking. And it also opened up geotime to new user groups, because a lot of data doesn't necessarily have a geospatial data associated with it. So it allows us to pull in data from a lot of different sources and potentially have a lot of different users take advantage of temporal analysis. We did do a formative evaluation. I'm just going to kind of skim through that pretty quickly. It would only involve three analysts. The idea was to feedback information into development of the tool more than it was to prove some real valuable metrics. But we created this scenario that of a bunch of moving objects and interactions between them, and we embedded patterns in that data that the analysts were trained to be able to extract using configurable spaces functionality. And we got some good feedback. And this stuff is, the numbers are detailed in the paper, but I think there was enough here to really show that there was potential benefit and that it could be potentially applied and used by analysts to enhance their work. So in conclusion, we believe that, and it's kind of obvious, diagrams are broadly applicable to analysis. I mean, they're used all the time. But I would say that they're underutilized. We need to go beyond sort of aggregate network graphs and static PowerPoint diagrams, which is how diagrams are typically used. Because those things are trying to represent dynamic situations, and they're not really allowing analysts to understand that dynamic aspect of them. We've investigated methods for generating, applying, and combining different types of diagrams and providing the means to do a temporal analysis based on them, and demonstrated that. We have a prototype workflow to support multiple concurrent linked diagrammatic perspectives of the situation so that analysts can simultaneously see and work with processes, organizations, networks, geography, and other dimensions of the problem at the same time, so we can have all these slices and be able to work across them. The only caveat to that is it requires a knowledge base of events that will be able to support it. So geotime provides that capability to an ontology there to show those, to be able to divide up those different types of events and extract portions of it and create diagrams. There are others out there. Really what you need is to have that knowledge base, and then you need a visualization to be able to explore that. And so that's something to take away. The other thing is that, you know, the main thing really to me to sort of push work forward is that temporal analysis of social networks, processes, concept maps, and organizations is revealing. You can see patterns and behaviors in there that you cannot see other ways. And unless you're actually looking at all of the activity that's occurring in there, you're really only just seeing an aggregate starting point. So if you really want to understand what's happening in a system, and I think that that's what analysts want to do, you need to be able to break it down and understand how that system is changing and transforming over time. So in terms of next steps, we really want to beta test this in real problem domains. We think it would be pretty easy to do that. And we also want to evolve some of the functionality. So right now, that diagrammatic view in this picture here is a static image. It's generated once and then placed on the ground plane. To be able to interact with that over time, be able to see a change as you scroll through events, would probably enhance analysis. So I think that's time's up, right? Thank you.
Tom, definitely a couple of minutes for questions. So, does someone have one?
I got one. I'm from Georgia Tech. My name is Mario Romero, and I'd like to thank you for GeoTime. It's one of the works that I reference a lot. My question is about vertical cuts. So you're doing horizontal cuts where you're analyzing the historical structure of the diagram, but if you do a vertical cut, you're emphasizing the look of a single node, maybe of a diagram, and then the history of that node. And if you orient the cut correctly, you can look at relationships between two or maybe three nodes if they're collinear. Have you thought about that?
I'm not exactly sure I understand what you're saying. So. You mean the direction that I'm looking at it?
Correct.
Allows me to see certain different aspects of the network and communications.
Exactly. So what I'm saying is that if you take a horizontal cut, you will see the entire diagram and the history across the vertical dimension. But if you rotate your model around and you take, can you do it again where we saw most of the nodes on a plane?
So like this?
The other way. That way. So if I take a cut, maybe along the yellow plane there, I'm seeing the historical, and then I rotate the cut so that I see it from the front, I'm seeing a historical relationship between the yellow nodes and maybe what's behind them. In other words, I get historical two-dimensional images by rotating the diagram.
Okay.
I don't know if I explained it any better. So with the work that I do, let me go back and talk about a little bit of what I do. I visualize video cubes. And in video cube information, you can take XT slices, you can take YT slices, that gives you historical information about that single column of pixels. So the question here is, can you get that historical information about a single...
About, like, for example, this row?
Exactly. Yeah. And then if you orient the plane correctly, you will get historical information about two or more nodes.
Right. We actually, well, I don't know. There's a capability down here which I think might work. It's a prototype. Maybe not. Where I can actually line things up side by side, or there's a different kind of view like this, where it actually emphasizes the temporal range, so I can actually see just, you know, strictly in time, how those things are communicating. I'm not sure if that answers your question or not.
It sort of gets there, but then what I would like to do is take that cut and put it back on my screen and utilize the 2D space of the screen to and spread things apart.
Right.
Okay. Thanks.
We now have time probably for one more question.
Hi, my name is Xiaoyu Wang. I'm from UNC Charlotte. I just heard you have ontology built in the GeoTime system. I wonder how much communication you allow from user to the ontology. Is that two-way communication or is just?
It's more like a very simple ontology for, you know, that represent to define like communication events or financial events or different types of entities. So it's actually a very simple ontology that we're using, a simple knowledge base. So there's not really a way for the analyst to, you know, kind of search on, you know, Okay. Really use that in a lot of detail.
Okay, so you use it more like a storage space for users' diagram discoveries, right?
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Right. I don't think we actually support that at this point, but we do provide a lot of ways to sort of stretch and navigate in time and go through space. So that's an interesting. I think that has come up. Just be able to focus on sequence. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.